What's he listening to?
The Young God Podcast.
Before we begin, let's take a deep breath to center ourselves in this moment. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's begin. God Gang, welcome. Let's get straight to it. In the last episode, I had a cool conversation about competition with two special guests. One of them was conflicted because he doesn't have a competitive bone in his body, and yet he wants to get to the top of his profession. That's a very natural feeling. I'm sure he's not alone. Many people are naturally non-competitive, which is cool. I can't relate though. I am competitive. I love to compete. I love to test myself against others. It's a side of me that I have embraced and I draw strength from. I also love seeing competition in others. And this is where it gets interesting because there are people who have suppressed their natural competitive energy, either because they exist in environments that didn't encourage competition or because they've internalized messages that undermine competition. I will address those messages later on. Stay tuned. In the meantime, this episode is my solo continuation of the conversation from the previous episode. As much as I enjoy discussing these things with people and getting their points of view, there are certain places I must go alone to really give you the gist of things. I want to dispel certain myths about competition. I want to challenge your biases about competition. I want you to understand what happens inside and outside of you when you compete. I want you to embrace your inner competitor. I want you to find your competitive edge. There will be hot takes, unpopular opinions, and food for thought that I think will be extremely beneficial to anyone who is in between two minds about competition. Whether you're competitive or not, this is for you. If you're not a competitive person though, as you listen, consider this question. Are you naturally non-competitive, or did you learn to be non-competitive? Is it nature or nurture? I have a feeling it's the latter for a lot of people. But let's see what the streets are saying via the polls on Spotify. Also, remember, if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the podcast via the link in the show notes. Your support goes a long way, always. Without further ado, my name is Rodney Omokachie, and you are welcome to The Young God, a podcast for gods.
Yeah. Stand back, got to talk. Watch calls.
I would like to start this episode by saying that this is a competition stan account. We stan competition over here. In fact, the best way to begin to justify competition is to remember that life is a game. The objective is to play to win. Whatever winning means to you is your business. Remember the game within the game episode? I talked about the finite game and the infinite game. I talked about the high value game and the low value game. I talked about how important it is to know what game you're playing because that determines what winning means to you. Link in the show notes. Winning, to me, means playing to my strengths, staying in the game as long as possible, getting better in the process, and most importantly, enjoying the game. Every other thing will come from that. But to win, I have to compete. To play for long, I have to enjoy competing. You get. Competition is one of those things that you either love or you hate. I know people who cringe at the thought of doing something for any reason other than the fun of it. For them, it's like, I can't come and kill myself. Then there are people like me who don't find the game that fun without good competition. As I've been saying so far, I love competition. Whether it's work or play, I enjoy showing what I'm made of, win or lose. The win is extra. I enjoy giving my best and getting the best of others. Work and play bring out very different versions of competition in me. When I play games like FIFA or Scrabble, I play to win. I play for bragging rights. and I like to pull out the competitor in my opponent. There's this thing I do, my friends know this very well, where I like to provoke the competitor in people who try to play against me for fun. I start talking trash. I let them know that I am good at this game. And if you don't take care, I will wipe the floor with your soul and spirit. Now their pride is at stake. They get gingered. And all of a sudden, we have a game. By the time it's all said and done, both parties leave feeling good, feeling challenged, and even a little bit better at the game. I connect with people through competition. This is what it's all about. When it comes to work, though, my competitive drive is just as strong, but it's more subtle. I want to succeed just as much, but I also want to work with clients and companies that are set up to win, that have a winning product, that think like winners. Cat Williams will be proud of me because I don't have an unusual allegiance to losers.
Yes!
I compete through excellence. I let the work speak for itself. I want to move the needle and justify my clients' faith in me. I also want to increase my earning capacity, and that drives my creativity. When it comes to accolades, I want to be able to say I did that. I would like to be recognized for my contribution. I need all my flowers.
Man, the competition, the competitiveness.
That's all business. Like in all business, in all sport, competition is a driving force.
You know, when I made Stronger, I did it to compete with Timberland and Justin Timberlake, because my fiance at that time liked Justin Timberlake just a little bit too much. So I made it to compete. And then we have the song out. It's number one on Apple. It's blowing up. I play it in a club and it sounds muddy. It doesn't sound the way Sexy Back sounded in the club. So I go to Pharrell Williams to do the drums, and it sounds like a different record. Then I go to Swiss Beats, it sounds like a different record. I go to Timberland, the person who did Sexy Back, he did it in 5 minutes and then spent the rest of the hour talking about how nobody could have done it except for him.
3 years ago, I decided to be the best podcaster I could be. It was an act of competition. First of all, it was a commitment to the craft, to improve every single day, to use this medium to do innovative things. It was also a warning shot to current and future podcasters that I am on a mission, I am coming. Every episode I drop is a competitive act. In my mind, I'm competing against my last episode. I'm competing against other podcasters and other forms of entertainment for the listener's attention. I imagine a listener coming across my podcast for the first time, and I have to create this thing that will hook them. I enjoy the act of creating and the act of competing, and that's a killer combination. That's the real art of war. See what I did there? Art of war. And living in this way, operating in this way, has created opportunities and moments of magic in my life. It's incredible. Now, I think I should say that the difference between my style of competition and the one that people speak against is that mine is not from a place of scarcity. It's from a place of abundance. I compete because I love to compete, because I am full, because I love the thrill, the challenge. Win or lose matters not. The opportunity to play, to test myself, to express myself is the win. But if I win, whew, you're going to hear about it. Don't you find it interesting that we live in a highly competitive world, but people, young and old, are so unprepared, unwilling to compete. They are afraid, sometimes even allergic to competition. It's weird, to me at least. People are so politically correct, so polite, so docile, no fire in their bellies, just vibes. When it's time to counsel or drag somebody, they will show their teeth. But when it's time to compete from a purely passionate position, they have nothing in them. And I think it starts with the fact that we are over-entertained. Entertainment is killing our edge. Then there's the messaging we've been fed for years and years. Self-help books in particular have subtly painted competition and comparison in a bad light, which has contributed to dulling the competitive edge in people over decades. Even TV shows and movies have subtly been telling stories that make people okay with just being and not doing and not striving. You know what I mean? So now what we have is young people who feel content sitting back, which leads to increased depression, increased self-doubt, and increased over-dependence on others. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to list some of the messages I've come across that have contributed to this dulling of the edge. And I'm going to try to counter them. Here we go. First up, my only competition is myself. That's cute, but it's a bold-faced lie. See, you can lie to anyone, but please don't lie to yourself. Deep down, you know that you're thinking of that other person. You're watching what they do, whether out of envy or inspiration. And that's okay. It happens to the best of us. That's the essence of competition. We exist to measure ourselves against each other. The questions are, do you compare and compete at the detriment of your own sanity? And what do you do with the information you gather from comparing and competing? Your answers to those questions will determine whether you're a god or a mere mortal. The other thing about my only competition is myself is that it's an incomplete statement. Kind of like how you would say, jack of all trades, master of none. Come to find out that the full phrase is actually jack of all trades, master of none, but still better than a master of one.
Whoa!
See how that totally changes the energy of the sentence. Many incomplete statements have become conventional wisdom, so you gotta be careful what you take in. The truth is that being your competition is not an end in itself. It's just a starting point. You win the internal battle so that you can win any battle outside. Believing that you are your only competition is not only arrogant, but also a denial of a fundamental reality of the world. And the Nile is a long-ass river in Egypt. Let me break it down. No one exists in a vacuum. No man is an island. You are not your only competition. You are, however, your first and most important competition. You must face yourself before going against anybody. It's a law of nature. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is two things can be true. How you deal with these contradictions in your mind will determine how effective a competitor you will be. This is how you become a god. Another half-truth that people say is, we rise by lifting others. I understand the sentiment, but no. We rise by rising, by lifting ourselves. Then we lift others. It's messages like this that get you manipulated or burnt out. It's a simple matter of fill your cup before you pour into others. The idea behind we rise by lifting others is that when you get to a certain level, it is wise to help and support others in order to keep rising and succeeding. It's about a community built on strong individuals. Don't go straight to giving yourself to others when you haven't built nothing. You will fail, fam. Another thing they say is, competition happens at the bottom. The people at the top are collaborating. LOL. Who comes up with this stuff? What will they not say to discredit competition? The way I see it, collaboration happens in the middle, while competition happens at the bottom and the top. I won't explain further. Which leads me to my least favorite thing people say about competition. Collaboration over competition. Oh Lord, that's a new buzzword that people love to throw around. You go to conferences and seminars and workshop and it's the in thing. But let me throw it back at you. So you mean to tell me that your only competition is yourself, but you are somehow open to collaboration? It doesn't work that way. You can't have any meaningful collaboration without healthy competition, without a desire to succeed, improve, and achieve. You must be able and willing to compete before you can engage in collaboration that has any impact. Unless the collaboration is purely vibes, then do you, boo-boo. You see, the thing about competition is that it exposes your weaknesses, which is cool because when you know your weaknesses, you can find collaborators that make up for the areas you lack. It's simple mathematics. I'm here to tell you that collaboration and competition are two sides of the same coin, forever playing off each other. For example, it is a form of collaboration for two or more actors to agree to compete ethically and honestly towards a greater goal, like a sports league or a business industry. You do your best, I do mine. Let's see what happens. There will be winners and losers, but we all understand that everybody wins in the end, for the good of the game, for the culture. Oh, and by the way, you can follow the podcast on social media. Twitter, at I Am The Young God. Instagram, at The Young God Pod. I regularly post exclusive content and updates on events, all kinds of things. You don't want to miss that, so please follow. Between my late teens and early 20s, I was in and out of South Africa a lot. High on the wall of the Johannesburg South Africa Airport Terminal is an African proverb printed in large text. You can't miss it. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Sounds profound, doesn't it? For years, I believed it. I never really thought about it until recently. I realized that it's just another way of saying collaboration over competition. I'm not saying the proverb is false. I'm saying context is key. It depends who you are and who you're going with, the individuals that make up the group. A group is only as strong as its weakest link. And one thing about people, they will disappoint you. My thing is, the proverb doesn't apply in all situations. Why do you think Michael Jackson, Beyonce, and Justin Timberlake left their groups? Why do you think team sports and individual sports exist? Because some people are just better on their own. Take me for example. Looking at my podcast journey specifically, I am certain that if I had relied on people, I would not have come as far as I have come. As a podcaster, you're less likely to go far if you have a co-host or need a big production team. You're forever at the mercy of the mood and availability of other people. If I didn't have the range of skills and the self-confidence to bet on myself, I don't know if I'd still be doing a podcast going on 5 years. Not only are people unreliable, reliable people are expensive. If you can't pay them, they're not moving. You're not going anywhere. In my unique situation, collaboration was not ideal. I went far and fast on my own. I'm Michael Jackson in this bitch. My only collaborator was God. Don't get me wrong though. I knew that if I collaborated with the right people, I would have done 1,000 times more. I just didn't have the right people at the time. I'm just the kind of guy that says to himself, if I can't have 1,000, if I can't do 1,000, I'll make do with 100. One way or another, I'm leaving here with something.
If you don't like it, kiss the mother's car!
Run it up. Yo, run that back. Run that back.
If I can't do 1,000, I'll make do with 100. One way or another, I'm leaving here with something. You feel me? That's what it means to be a competitor. Don't wait for people to understand, to follow, to support. Just go. Going alone has so many perks. For starters, you will always be ahead of the curve. You get to set the standard. You will see things before anyone else and set the trend for others to follow. Fam, if you want to see what you're made of, you got to go alone. People can achieve a lot together, but an individual who wants it bad enough has the power of 10 people if they decide to tap into it. It all depends on what you're made of and your situation. At the end of the day, it is your drive and your desire to win that will attract the right people.
That's right.
My issue with these messages is that they make competition and solitude seem like lesser states, when in actuality, they are just as powerful, if not more. As I said, context is key. All the messages I've highlighted make sense on the surface. I can't blame anyone for internalizing them. But by the time you apply context, they no longer hold up. To be a good competitor, you should be able to think for yourself, think well, and analyze your situation before internalizing any message. That's your first competition, critically analyzing your beliefs and biases. Just because it feels true
doesn't mean it applies to you. A good competitor must think for themselves and make sure that whatever they put into their head gives them a competitive edge. Entering any game with unexamined beliefs will ensure you lose the game before you even start.
I had a list of all the black comedians that were more famous than me. There was 300 of them on the list, and I had to be able to cross them all out before I could make it to the next level, before I felt like I was funny enough to do that. And so I...
Are you still competitive in the rap game? Competition is different these days. That competition is competing for my awesome fan base and my awesome fans' attention. You know what I mean? For them to still say that they love me, and competing for their love and competing for them to still fuck with me and things like that. That's my competition these days, and I love it.
Exclusive. Are you naturally non-competitive, or did you learn to be non-competitive? Is it nature or nurture? At this point, you should have your answer. If you do, please don't forget to respond in the polls if you're listening on Spotify. I really want to know. You know, it's not just media messages that hurt our competitiveness. Some people do bad all by themselves. Some people haven't grown up yet. Some people don't like competition simply because their egos can't handle losing. They can't handle appearing less than another person. If this is you, if you want to outgrow this behavior, if you're listening, I want you to know that I got you. Keep listening to the podcast in its entirety. As you go along, over time, the podcast will help you shed your weaknesses. It has this magical quality that just renews your mind and your being over time. I kid you not. I'm laughing, but it's true. Trust me. Anyway, another thing to consider is that some people have never really been good at anything. They don't know how that feels. Dear listener, to know that you are better than even one person at anything is exhilarating. Now imagine you're the absolute best. It's a different high. That feeling is unimaginable for most people. So what do? They collaborate. They go together. They're the ones who will collaborate to no end. You never see them stand on their own, always hiding in the group. To them, it's like, better to be mediocre together than to be mediocre alone. I get it. I mean, I can't relate, but I get it. The antidote to this behavior is to find your competitive edge. You don't always have to be outright competitive, but you should have certain skills, superpowers, gifts, knowledge, information, or even contacts that give you an edge. A lot of the time, you already have that thing, but you're sleeping on it. You're sleeping on it because you're not high agency. Which brings me to my next point. The world doesn't lack talent or skill. It lacks high agency talent. I often think about the really bright people I've met and worked with, and I wonder what they would be capable of if they had more of a drive, a desire to achieve in something that they're passionate about. I found this to be most evident in artists. Artists sleep on themselves so much. It's sad because artists are so powerful, so important to the world, I can't overstate it. I know that artists are not like athletes. We cannot win gold. We cannot beat other artists. We cannot come first. Sports is objective. Our craft is subjective. But that doesn't mean that an artist shouldn't compete with each other on some level. I think artists can borrow a lot from athletes, the same way athletes have borrowed from artists. How many times have you heard an athlete being called an artist in their sport on account of how they approach their game and the beauty they create with their play, movement, and the moments they engineer? Ronaldinho, Stephen Curry, Lionel Messi. These are athletes that come to mind when I think of artistic flair. In the same vein, the best artists borrow that competitive drive from athletes. They approach their craft with a seriousness an obsession to extract every drop of their God-given gift, to close the gap between their skill and their vision, to make sure they communicate exactly what they intend to create the desired effect or feeling in the audience. They spend days, weeks, months, and years on research and exploration to find their muse, to go somewhere no other artist has gone before. Then there are the deadlines that sometimes come with the work. They don't wait to be inspired. They get right to work because they know that if they wait, they will never get it done. There's also the fact that opportunities for artists are limited, so the strength of your work determines the quality of opportunities you get. This is the essence of competition. I've spoken a lot about art and artists this season. If you're curious to know what's up, I've put links in the show notes of this episode. Thank me later. God Gang, can I have your attention, please? If you're feeling generous, you can show your appreciation with some funds. Let's call it the Young God Fund. Please consider supporting. There's a Paystack link in the show notes. Whatever you're comfortable with, it will go a long way. Thanks a lot. Now let's get back to the show.
I appreciate what competition does for sports and for my particular sport. And comedy is a sport. I just have to make sure that the content is good. If the content is good, what part can I not do? I'm a vessel. He's given me these gifts to be able to do certain things, so I just want to utilize them in my craft. That's all.
The Bible says some interesting things about competition, but my fave is probably in 1 Corinthians, where it said, competition can motivate us to give our best for the glory of God. The glory of God. Let that reverberate through your mind and spirit, because that is the point of all of this. The glory of God to me means personal growth, character development, and the pursuit of excellence. It says to me that competition is a chance to honor God with our talents and abilities while also cultivating humility and integrity. When we lose, when things are difficult, when we fall short, there's a fascinating term I'm excited to share with you today. It's called optimal experience. It describes the ideal psychological mental state of a person who is immersed in an activity with total concentration, full enjoyment, full involvement, and full alignment with the task at hand. The idea behind optimal experience is that the best moments of our lives are not the passive, receptive, relaxing times, even though such experiences can also be enjoyable if we worked hard to attain them. Like going on a two-month vacation after securing a big deal or a contract or whatever. The best moments in our lives usually occur when our body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. Nothing activates optimal experience like competition of any kind. If you are naturally competitive, you will have optimal experience moments throughout your life. It could be something as small as a long run where you beat your personal best, or a killer workout at the gym. For a child, it could be placing with trembling fingers the last block on a tower she has built, higher than any she has built so far. For an athlete or sports person, it could be trying to make or break a world record or win a championship against a worthy opponent. For a violinist, it could be mastering an intricate musical passage. For a painter, it could be being totally immersed in the making of a beautiful painting. For a podcaster, it could be gaining an important insight in the making of the episode. This means that optimal experience is something that we make happen. It's an active thing. And the more optimal experiences you're able to create for yourself, the more enjoyable your life becomes. Your mental health benefits. Psychologists and philosophers say that optimal experience is the bottom line of existence. It is the subjective reality that justifies all the decisions and events of your life story. Deep, innit? God designed life in such a way that we have ample opportunities to achieve optimal experience, aka heaven. That is literally heaven on earth. At this point, it goes without saying, but competition is a natural trait in all living things. It exists in us for good reason. Our maker does not make mistakes. It is up to you to figure out what your reason is. It is up to you to figure out how your competitive energy will serve you. I said this in the sexual intelligence episode, and I'll say it again. Having a negative relationship with the things that come naturally to you is a recipe for disaster. Let that sink in.
Who's there?
It's me, the sink.
Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume. As we approach the end of this episode, I want to share one last food for thought. You know me, I always serve. I stay serving. I'm Chef Rodney on this podcast. I once read a tweet that said, "People need excitement in their lives. Twitter interactions cannot be the pinnacle of your relevance." Does that sound right? Not to me, it doesn't. That's just replacing one problem with another. People don't need excitement. People need purpose. People need healthy competition. They need a reasonable challenge. They need to feel like they have something in them that refuses to settle for mediocre. And they need to bring it out of one another. People are depressed because they've lost their fire. Who knows? Maybe that job you hate could be a little bit more interesting if you took it as competition, not a jail term. We have the ability to make even the most dead things alive again just by deciding we're not going to succumb to it. Which reminds me of another message that low-key kills our competitiveness. Outcomes don't matter. Just enjoy the journey. No, bro. Everything matters. The journey and the outcome. You need to want to win and not just play for fun. Especially in the larger game of life. Man, participation trophy culture is killing competition and excellence, and we don't even know.
Yeah. This is not a competition. You are not the opposition. I just wanna see you win. Don't put me in this position. This is not a competition. Come on, baby, let me in. Wanna be the greatest.
I'm here to tell you that being hungry for victory is a birthright. Ambition is morally virtuous. You should want the best for yourself. You should care deeply about doing things in the most excellent way without having to win any competition or prove anything to anyone. It's not you must win. It's you want the best. You must want better for yourself and others. That's the purest version of competition. That's literally what God expects from us. And I hope you take that from this episode, whether you're competitive or not. As I call curtains on this episode, I would like to remind you one last time to participate in the Q&A and polls on Spotify. I don't know if you know this, but every episode has polls, by the way. I take that extra step in creating a poll and Q&A session for those on Spotify. And if you're listening on Spotify, you should take advantage of that. It's a really cool way to, you know, collaborate with me. See what I did there? Thanks again for all your support. I am eternally grateful for your ears, for your time, and for your interest in what I have to say. Never lose your drive. Never stop competing. Keep looking for opportunities to make a statement. Let your presence be felt. For ye are gods, fam. And this is The Young God.
It's got talk. It's got talk. Let God talk.